You know, I was wondering who was going to have as a guest this week, this weekend, and I saw a post about Thomas's powder reproducing itself. And you know, I've got a couple of personal theories about that I'll go into a bit later in the call. But suddenly I realized we've got two of these most extraordinary alchemists, completely eccentric guys in their own way, sharing the same house in an upstairs, downstairs kind of thing, you know? Because Thomas has got a self-contained facility, a self-contained unit below his house, and which is where Barry Carter stayed at the NOTA conference.
Well, and where you stayed as well. We had 13.
Well, no, I was the upstairs. I was upstairs.
We had 13 people here that night, and before the Yenota conference, and most of the
I know.
And such, and Joe came and enjoyed the peace and quiet so much he went back to Yuma and ended up moving here a couple months later.
That was a phenomenal time, Thomas. Unforgettable.
Well, we're just beginning to talk about if we can do it again. It's so extraordinarily beautiful right now in North Georgia. All the dogwoods are blooming, and the wisteria is out, and everything is so green that we've talked about doing another conference about this time next year. And there seems to be some building enthusiasm. So this is a kind of preliminary thing. It takes about a year to organize these things, and this is all assuming, of course, that we're all still able to function and travel and that sort of stuff this time next year. Who knows? I think a lot of what I've been dealing with, at least in my search, has been to kind of look to see what I might do to get ready for the changes that I feel are coming. And the wonderful thing about having Joe living here is that, you know, I get like two or three emails a day from him from downstairs, it'll be a link to some video that I will have listened to that day, and then I'll come home from work and run downstairs and we'll talk for 30 or 40 minutes, I'll give him a book, and he'll give me two books, and this sort of stuff. So it's been a real stimulating kind of thing, because we're oddly enough going to the same goal from entirely different directions. He's so left brain, and I'm so right brain about it. But it's
has two right brains, and I have two left brains, so together it works out as a perfect synergy.
Yeah, because Joe's a natural born engineer.
Well, he certainly is. I went to last November. I went to a conference with Drunvalo Melchizedek at in Sedona, called the Earth Sky Workshop. That also he talked about this book called Living in the Heart. And he does a meditation called the Flower of Life Meditation, which is you know, in essence, visualizing yourself in a star tetrahedron, depending on the orientation, depending on your gender, and spinning it and visualizing certain things when you do that to make a very long workshop kind of capsulize, and then entering your heart space, and in doing so, being able to transcend the physical part of the changes that he is anticipating coming over the next few years. He was talking about splitting life. Or splitting timelines, and talked a lot about Slim Sperling rings and time-space dimensions and dimensional stuff and the void and all the stuff that I really am not all that literate about. But I came home with a Slim Sperling ring, And both Joe and I got fascinated about it and started researching it, and we've been doing that since. So that's one of the things that we started making is qubits. Slim Sperling stuff is based on the qubit. I'm sure Joe can talk a lot more about it than me. But that's been one of the things that we've investigated, that and listened to all these videos and read all these books about anti-gravity and all this sort of stuff. So it's been a real stimulating environment.
Have you been using the rings with any of your Ormus making processes?
Absolutely.
Joe, you're a bit quiet.
I'm using a headset microphone. Can you hear me okay, or should I go on to the other one?
You should go to the other one because you're a bit quiet.
Move the mouthpiece a little closer to you.
I'm pretty much chewing on it now.
Okay.
I'll take it off here.
Just figured it'd be a lot easier to be hands-free here, but oh well.
Oh, suddenly you're a lot clearer, Joe.
Okay. Well, that thing's a piece of junk, I guess. All right, well, I figured Thomas was going to go ahead and talk about his powder, and then I'd start talking about the rings, unless you just want to mix it all up here, I don't know.
Well, heck, I don't know what you want to do. I have no idea why the powder is replicating itself, or people's experiences that. I saw your post, Barry, about, I hope somebody weighs it and documents it. I think that's wonderful. Nothing would delight me more, because I really consider that powder a gift to the Ormus community from John Hudson, and it was a gift that was kind of cooperative. It certainly wasn't just me, Charles Dragoo, who's listening on the call here, was certainly instrumental in that. And the interesting thing about it is that he and I both have had some process about it and have changed. Both of us have a little different recipe. He has a powder which, as you probably all saw, levitates in a magnetic field, and with the magnet under it that he made from azomite. Azomite is like a clay a limestone. Conglomerate that it's I believe it's a brand name. It's usually mined in Utah. Mm-hmm. But we've made white powder from that, and also from limestone powder and from sand that's out of John's yard. Dana Dudley and Bill Shuck, I hope are on the call too. But anyway, when they were out at the Alchemy Conference, stopped in Wickenburg, Arizona, and Bobby, who lives on the property where John used to live, Bobby lives there now, and let them dig up a whole bunch of sand, and we have a whole bunch of sand from John Hudson stuff, and it really has been that made a huge difference in the powder. We made and gave away, as those of you who came to Enoda probably remember, we gave away, I was going to say a ton, but almost 2 pounds of this white powder that we had made, Charles and I had made ahead of time as door prizes. And I really haven't heard a lot about it on the list. I just kind of trusted people would come across it if they got home and take it. You know, it didn't know whether it had a dosage on it, but it was a pinch a day in the morning is the dosage. And I really haven't seen anything a whole lot posted about it, have sent it out, and now I'm delighted to hear people's experience about it, and delighted to hear that they're actually using it and having a good experience with it. It really
certainly seems to be the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, that's
no,
all
I couldn't
want.
Hear what you said, Barry.
Seems to be the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Well, that would be what John would want, I'm sure, and Charles as well, and me. it's really very easy to make, but the interesting thing is that you can do the same steps over and over on different days and have a completely different result.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it depends on your frame of mind, and it just doesn't make any sense from a chemistry class kind of chemistry, left brain kind of chemistry at all. Because
well, that one day when you got like twice as much.
Well, I wasn't happy with the first drop on it, so I boiled it for a while, and John used to say boil it and boil it and boil it, and certainly the first batches that I made with Charles, we boiled and boiled, but it seems to produce better when you boil it. But for a long time, it was so productive without a boil, by just putting it out in the sun, I wasn't using a boil at all. So it depends on, I guess it depends on the source material and depends on my own frame of mind and my own energy level and the phase of the moon, certainly.
Yeah.
Have you made any of it using the Sperling rings?
No, this particular batch that I'm making now, in fact, just before the call, I stirred up an acid leach, but I've got the bucket sitting inside my 3.5-cubit Sperling ring,
mm-hmm.
and we'll see how it turns out.
Of course, the entire area where Thomas works is directly beneath the largest harmonizers. Slim calls them the harmonizer. Of course, we're not going to use his wording. But his entire area where he works is directly above a full cubit harmony generator, I think that's what we'll call it, which has a very large range. So everything he's making here lately is completely engulfed in the field produced by this device.
Everything's changed. I mean, that's the interesting thing, is that Joe's products have changed so much, and my products have changed. I've got people writing me and having out-of-body experiences. Mel Proctor, I hope Mel's on. She might be on the call, too. Who knows? I think she's in Korea presently. But she wrote...
She's back in Seoul.
She's back in Seoul, yeah, that's what I thought. And she wrote to say that her third eye has opened again, and she's going out-of-body, and we've been emailing about that. It's and it really has been my experience, and it sort of, I guess, is what I've imprinted on that white powder is a at least a expansive sort of thing. I don't know why it's duplicating itself. It must be because that's what's involved in people's healing, and that's all I really want the powder to be. I try not to imprint it. Actually, but I do chant John's magic number, a lot when I and try to keep my mind clear of earthquakes and collapsed buildings and stuff. When I make it, and John's number, for those of you it's 973-487-6931-8. And he used to chant it a lot, as he made the powder, I don't know where he got it from. He never would tell me, but he talked about it. In fact, if you look back in the archives of these calls, of these conference calls on John's call, he talks about that number, which is more information than I know about it right offhand. But again, it's 9374876931-8. And so as I stir it, I say, 9734876931-8, 9374876931-8. And it really imprints some sort of energy on it. It really always has. And so, and that's been one thing that's been consistent. And I know Charles does that as well, because John, tutored Charles in the technique. And good Lord, his powder is levitating in a magnetic field. You all saw the video on YouTube, and I don't think it said that it was Charles Drugoo, but it was. And again, there's also an archived call from Charles. That's the wonderful thing about the archives on these conference calls. There's so much information in them. And you can download them and put them on iPods and listen to them at work when everybody thinks you're working. But at least that's what I'm saying. I've just changed jobs. I can't do that anymore. So, but at any rate, it's been a whole different experience since Enoda. And I think that reflects the changing times and the changing energy and the way this has all sort of opened up. And it's nice. You know, a lot of the people on the call know each other face to face. I met each other at Enoda, and I think that's a wonderful Ormus community. And I think that everybody's products and the energy around these products all reflects that as well.
Yeah, since you mentioned that, Thomas, I never get out of my memory the night when I show up at the Atlanta airport. And there's you and DVD. And I met you guys for the first time in person. And we hung around the airport waiting for Barry Carter to come in and for Joe.
Yeah, that's when you ran into the woman on the Segway scooter.
Stop, stop, stop.
Did I ask you if I could have a run on it? I can't remember. Probably.
Yeah, she wouldn't let you take your scooter off, no. But as I recall, you did ask. So. At any rate.
Well, you know, there's no harm in asking.
Oh, absolutely not.
And I still remember.
It was a
phenomenal experience to meet up with everyone for the very first time that I've talked to several times on the phone, often many, many, many times, because there's something about being able to face the flesh and be in the same space, in space-time, physically, in the same moment, breathing the same air. There's something special about that.
Well, that
and if we can do that, we can do that again next year, that would be so fabulous.
It would be. I think that was the wonderful part of it. It was sort of like a summer camp experience up at Enoda and Swan. In fact, Swan had offered us a week, if we want a whole week, that she'll close the place except for Ormus folks for a week. I don't know whether we could sustain something for a whole week, but certainly would be... It certainly would be nice, and sure, it is a lovely place this time of year. But we're just in the formative stages about it, and if there's energy and some enthusiasm about it, and you know, we'd like to kind of step off and use that first one as a place to start, and then kind of move. I'm sure that with Ormus, everyone has kind of evolved and moved on. With the energy around it, because it's such a dynamic force, or has been at least in my life, and I am delighted that people are having that stuff replicate. I'm delighted that they're using it. I'm fairly certain many people are having some transforming experiences with it, and it's very easy to make. But the curious thing is. If it's duplicating itself, of course, people won't order a whole bunch of it, but it's been so slow, business-wise, it must be doing a real good job of replicating itself all over the place.
I suspect that it's probably replicating itself for the Ormus inclined people.
Well, I hope so. That's what John would hope, and that's what I would hope. And after all, you know, it was a gift, and it's a gift I like to pass on.
Say again?
I say, if anyone out there hasn't tried any of Thomas's water yet,
I think that was, to me, if you asked me what was the most amazing thing about that, you know, to me, what I took away from that was the effects of the water. And most of the people didn't even realize that they were drinking this trap water that Swan had going on the water cooler there. Everybody that was drinking water there or making tea or coffee or anything, everybody was drinking trap water. The water's amazing around here to begin with. And then they didn't realize they were drinking trap water. And to me, it's just, it's been incredible. Here in the space of what's it been, November, December, January, February, March, I'd say 6 months, not even 6 months full, I've cut my medication for pain in half, and it's entirely due. Thomas told me this would happen, standing in the shower with this water and drinking this water every single day. I've cut my pain medication in half. It's affected amazingly attitude, everything. I'm totally relaxed with this stuff. I don't know. It's just like a tranquilizer to me. And now that the leaves are back on, this place is a magical place. It just seems like the energy is back here that was here when I first came here. And between the water and this place, it's just amazing. So anybody hasn't tried this this water, you are missing out. I'm telling you, if I ever leave here, I'm going to have to fill up a tank truck and bring it with me or something, because this is just amazing.
Now, are you using it in your process too, Joe?
Yeah, well, that's the only water we got here, so anything that's made with water is coming from this water. It's so loaded with gold to begin with, and then the trap, of course, amplifies it incredibly. So, and the rings, again, the ring is sitting right beneath where the trap is, not the ring, but the harmony generator, which has a radius of many miles. This isn't something that works just for a few feet. This thing works literally for miles. And it's bathing the entire house and the property and the surrounding area in a field of light and energizing every single thing, including the water, as if it needed it.
Now, you're selling these rings now, aren't you, Joe?
Well, we're going to get started. Thomas just registered the website, which is going to be Etheric Devices, spelled the old Greek way, A-E-T-H-E-R-I-C, devices, etherictdevices.com. There's nothing there yet. We just registered the name. We didn't even get a homepage up yet or even a holding page. But when he came back from the Jungle conference there, he brought this book, Slim Sperling's Universe. And when he got done with it, he passed it on to me, and I was just floored. I didn't know anything about these. I'd never heard anything about them. And for those of you that don't know, it's based on the sacred cubit, which there's a lot of discussion about the cubit. You can find figures anywhere from 20 and a half inches to 20.94 inches. And it's known variously as a sacred cubit, a royal cubit, a Remen cubit. There's a dozen names, different dimensions. Slim decided, based on the works of Bruce Cathy, who is a very famous mathematician, written several books.
And pilot for New Zealand.
And the speed of light and so forth. And he decided on the dimension based on Cathy's work. And he uses a sacred cubit of 20.60, and, you know, it's a big long decimal here, but basically 20.6 inches. And I don't know. I mean, not to take anything away from Slim. I'm sure he had a lot of research, did a lot of work on this, but it's just some of the devices that he makes, the prices just struck me as I don't see how anyone could ever afford to buy any of these things, and I don't like to see New Age type technology priced out of the reach of people, which basically this is. So I decided to jump in here and try to make one of these things, and it wound up working, and it's very easy to make, and the materials aren't that expensive. And so I decided to start making them. I mean, I hate to be a copycat, but I'm just trying to make these things reasonably priced so that people can take advantage of them. What's the sense of having something fabulous like this if you can't afford to make use of it? So I kind of want to make them available to people. Anyway, the rings, he started just by simply making a ring, which is one cubit in diameter. Now, the actual origin of the cubit...
Circumference.
What's that?
Circumference. It's a cubit in circumference.
It's a cubit in circumference. The unit of the cubit originally was the length of a person's elbow to the tip of their longest finger. So immediately there, that's going to be different for everybody. So just picking a certain figure and sticking with it, I mean, of course they work. They all are going to work, but it just seems to me it would work even better if it was made personally to a person's dimension. So that's what we're going to do that's different from what Slim does, or did. Slim's no longer with us, as people are still carrying on with this, but they make all of one size or the other, either the sacred cubit or the lost cubit, which is something just a little different. And we're going to actually make them custom to the size of the person that orders it, or whatever they want. If they want a standard sacred cubit, fine, but we will make them to order custom. And I think that's different enough to not really call us copycats 100%. You can't get that from them, so we're going to offer that different.
Sounds like a good idea.
What these actually do is generate what he calls a tensor field. Without getting into complicated physics, which will put you to sleep, it's basically a plane of light, and it's ultraviolet light. And people who are extremely sensitive excuse me, can actually see this field, especially if you look at the ring almost edgewise, completely on. If you look straight through it, it's kind of hard. It's like trying to see an aura. You have to approach it the same way. But if you look at these rings edgewise or almost edgewise, you can actually see like that heat rippling effect over a road in the summer. Something is definitely there, and people who are extremely sensitive can actually see ultraviolet light coming out of them. And what this is, again, based on is actually the radius of the Earth. Slim decided, looking at Kathy's work and so forth, that the dimension would be, believe it or not, 1/10,000,000th of the radius of the diameter of the Earth on the poles, for what that's worth. But what it winds up making is basically a superconducting ring. It resonates at 144 megahertz, which is a function of the speed of light, and it acts like a dead-shorted turn in an electrical circuit. If anybody understands anything about electricity, a dead short has no voltage but infinite current, which is exactly the same as a superconductor, which we've heard about. Everybody here, I'm sure, has heard that in relation to white powder gold, etc. It's a superconductor. And again, here we have another form of superconductor, and again, it's generating light. Same thing, different mechanics. But what it basically does, people ask, what does it do, is that it boosts the vibratory energy of practically anything. These things affect water, chiefly. So immediately, you know, it's going to affect any living thing, which is mainly water. What was that line from Star Trek? Ugly bag of mostly water? That's what we are, mostly water. Most living things are mostly water. And these things greatly affect water. Instantly affect water. You can put these around a jug of water, and any impurities will precipitate out of the water just from having one of these rings sitting around it. You can throw one over the shower head in your shower, throw it into your bathtub, and it will ease pains and aches. And it will improve the taste and the clarity of the water. Other liquids as well, wine, just similar to the tube that Dave makes. Alters the taste of wine and other liquids. I haven't tried it on wine, not this one yet. But one particularly interesting case that Slim stated in his book was it actually reversed the calcium and magnesium ratio in a volume of water. He had a water sample that had a lot of calcium and a little bit of magnesium, and he put the jug of water in the middle of a 2-cubit ring, let it sit overnight, and then they had it analyzed again. It had twice as much magnesium as it did calcium, completely transmuted the calcium into magnesium. Excuse me. So, again, if you're a sensitive enough person, you can actually see that it causes water to fluoresce and glow. I haven't been able to see that myself. I can definitely see the field effect in the ring, but people have definitely seen water fluoresce from it. And then when you subsequently drink that water, of course, the vibrations are going to carry inside of you, and it will improve your health, calm you down. It'll decrease your need for sleep, decrease your need for food. cure headaches, pain, speeds up healing. He had a one documented incident of a little kid that had broken a bone, and the bone knit back together at a greatly accelerated rate because he leaned his cast on one of these rings. Just amazing. They can also affect weather, and that's most pronounced in the harmonizers, is what Slim calls them. He calls his devices harmonizers. Well, obviously, that's probably a trademarked or copyrighted term or something, so we won't be calling them that. I've just been using a harmony generator. We don't have anything firmed up here yet. We don't really even have the prices firmed up. We have some ideas, but it'll be up here very shortly. But the
equalizer.
What's that?
Equalizer. Good idea.
Well, we'll be open to suggestions there.
I showed Joe a picture of him and gave him the book. He reads the book in a day or two, you know, and the next thing I know, he pops upstairs here, and he hands me a harmonizer that he's made out of copper wire that he's got down there and excess surplus plumbing parts. And so for the next couple of days, we sat down there and twisted up all these coils and AccuVac coils and harmonizers and rings and such like that, and now we've assembled quite a little collection of them and started making them. They're just kind of like, you know, the Ford Focus version of the harmonizer rather than the Cadillac, but they're proletariat and kind of useful, kind of like my traps are, that are affordable and kind of, you know, basic. Gosh, they sure are powerful. And to combine them with other technologies like the traps or the store products in them is like any other orgone accumulator or orgone generator. It's a different kind of field. It's like a quantum field. But Joe, you know, made one in about, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. Just looked at the picture, and the next thing you know, he's got his torches out and has soldered this all together and pops out a harmonizer and says, "Here you go."
And it works, let me tell you. I've got a big one, a full cubit here, which actually they don't recommend using it for. This isn't for everybody. Apparently it can overdose too much of a good thing. So some people find it uncomfortable. I haven't bothered me. It hasn't bothered anything here that we've seen so far. May come a time. But I can definitely feel the effects of it. These are really amazing devices. If, for those of you that aren't familiar with the story, if you know about Drunvalo, also Drunvalo tells about this. The city of Denver had an incredible air pollution problem for a long time. And Slim and Drunvalo and a few other people, I can't remember their names right off the top of my head, decided after playing with this stuff that they were going to try some experimenting with this. And they put three harmonizers around the city of Denver, and they were playing music through it. The effects of these are multiplied when you play quality music through it. I don't think I'd be putting Led Zeppelin through here, but I mean, you know, symphonic music or New Age type music or something quality. Slim actually took and made a recording of the sound of water atoms inside a cloud. I'm not sure exactly how he went about that, but he sells a CD that you can buy from him and get the actual frequency of a cloud. And what he did was play this through this network of three harmonizers. And in a matter of 3 days, I think it was, it completely cleared up this perpetual brown cloud that had been hanging over the city of Denver for as long as anybody could remember. And, I mean, this is just a hunk of copper metal, and people could not believe it. I still can't believe it, but it worked. And it got a little out of tune there after a while, and the pollution came right back, and they went and looked, and I think the battery had gone dead on the music on the cloud sound generator. They put a new battery in it, and boom, here the pollution went away again. So these things are just incredible. If you just use it by itself, a small one, which is a half cubit. What these are, I'm telling you about them without really describing them. Sorry. All it is the same as the cubit ring, you take three of the rings and intersperse them at 120 degrees. So it kind of looks like a little model of the atom, you know, the Bohr atom. Three of these things going at even angles. And then in the middle, he's got a big AccuVac coil in there, which is just, again, a qubit, a certain number, even number, odd number of qubits wrapped around a form so that it makes a coil, and then both ends are shorted together. So it becomes like a caduceus coil. It's a scalar-type device. You've got a scalar component with no magnetic component going on, no electric component, no magnetic component, but it's got a longitudinal wave. And the small one, he makes a very small one, which I'm not going to mess with. It's just too little that you can actually wear for jewelry. That's pretty difficult to make, for my big clumsy fingers anyway. But the small half-cubit ones have a range of 200 feet. And if you play music through them, that range goes up to a mile and a half. That's, think about it, that's quite an effect. And the large one, which
is a four-cubit.
How'd
you measure that, John?
What's that?
How'd you measure that?
I didn't. This comes from Slim's book. He went around and checked the effects of it and found the size of the influence field that it had. And the large one had an effect of 15 miles. And when he played the music through it, it went up to 60 miles. Can you imagine a 60-mile radius? It not only improved the air quality, but things like crime figures started to go down. People's attitudes improved. Grades improved in schools. All sorts of positive things. It just totally flooded the area with high-energy light. And that's what you get. Now, there's one caution is, if you are not an advanced person who's been working on his light body, and you are less than 51% in unity consciousness, if you're still trapped in polarity consciousness, it's going to augment or amplify the things that you need to work on. So you could be getting a hold of something that you think is going to improve your life and actually start making things worse. But not really. If you view it, as I said, you know, it's going to amplify the things that you need to work on and point out what you need to work on. If you're over 51% or more in unity consciousness, it's just going to boost your light body incredibly. And I think anybody
hey,
on
Joe,
this call doesn't need to worry about that. Yeah, Dennis, go ahead.
I've got to be your first customer, okay?
Okay, buddy. We measured your qubit the other day, so we'll make your harmonizer custom to you. And that goes for the harmonizers, too, everybody out there that wants one of these. We'll make it exactly tailor-made for you, if you want, or to the standard sacred. There's another one that Slim didn't really go into detail too much on, the lost qubit. The lost qubit resonates at an even higher frequency. It seems that the sacred qubit is geared to the physical body and physical things in nature, and the lost qubit is more of a metaphysical device. the size relationship between the two makes it vibrate at a higher frequency. The lost qubit resonates at 177 megahertz, which is, curiously, 33 hertz higher. That number seems to keep cropping up in metaphysics. But we can make them with the lost qubit, too, if you like, whichever one you want to go with. That's the whole idea, to customize them. And I think I've pretty much covered most of this here. And incredible devices, I tell you. It's just never ceases to amaze me the different things that you could come up with to use these for. The AccuVac coils can be used by people who do healing, hands-on healing. He kind of describes them as like a little Hoover. They have a negative end and a positive end. One will draw in negative energy and actually transmute it out the other end as positive energy. So you can pull energy, bad energy, out of places where people have problems in their aura and transform that. And I'm going to offer those also. We're going to offer those also. One of the things that you may notice that will be different between mine and Slim's is Slim's has these balls on them. They're like little hollow brass balls. He kind of got, enamored with Tesla's work. And a lot of Nikola Tesla stuff had these big spheres and metal balls. So he said, well, heck, let me throw a couple on here. And he really couldn't be 100% sure, but he had the feeling that they did something. So he puts these on his harmonizers, and he puts them on the big rings. Some of his early ones were made without it. They all work, one way or the other. But I don't know that I'm going to bother with the rings. I don't seem to see much of a difference between them myself. With the balls, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't see that much different without the balls on it. I put the ones on the small one I made for Thomas. I don't have them on the big one down here. And so far I haven't put any on the rings, but easy enough to do if people really, really want them. I don't think they make that much difference.
I don't think the gold plating makes any difference either. But
oh, yeah, that's a good point. His are gold plated and silver plated, or you can get them in plain copper. But he admitted himself that that's really just eye candy. They really don't function. The gold plating itself, of course, may do something by virtue of its being there, but I don't think it enhances the effect of the device all that much. He told him a few people swore that the silver ones worked better, but sorry, if you want a silver one or a gold one, you're going to have to shell out a couple of $1,000 and get yourself one from them, but I'm not going to do that. But we'll make a bunch of economical copper ones for people that want to experiment with this. And it won't be long if anybody's interested. Go ahead there, Dennis.
Hey, Joe, I know you're the engineer, and Thomas is more like the healer.
I thought I was the walrus.
Either of you... Yes, right. But do either of you guys do any kind of kinesiological testing or testing by dowsing using a pendulum or any other method of dowsing to get effectively yes-no answers to, or to get yes-no responses to any subject whatsoever? You know, and because if you listen to John Hudson's call, one of the ways he developed all manner of things, technologies, including that number you trotted out, Thomas, was by dowsing. And it occurred to me that you might be able to quickly test what the value of anything is that's in the invisible realm, like these rings, by dowsing, is it going to be beneficial with that little bowl on it, that little bulb on it, or not?
Yes, you might be able to. I'm not a very effective kinesiologist. I try it from time to time, and from time to time it does work, but I'm the guy with two left brains, remember? I'm not really good at it. I can do it. I have done it.
I think, though, overall, he can sense the difference when it's done. That
right.
We made several different models and trusted the experience with them, and they, you know, it's I think the beads are eye candy. They don't seem to add anything because the plain one works just as well, and the plain copper as well. I think that all of them are intentional amplifiers, rather like ormuses, that
yep.
a way of making your intention real in the world. And that sort of sounds like that the catch line from the S training back in the 1970s. I remember what Werner Erhard used to talk about racing his Formula 4 race cars as making his intention real in the world. And but that really has been sort of what the Ormus experience has been, that what these do is amplify, that when people call, I often say it brings them healing, but that healing doesn't always mean a cure. Sometimes people are disturbed by that healing, and sometimes healing is not painless, but it's healing that needs to happen. And I truly believe that these products and these things like the rings, the qubit rings, have a power to transcend the dimensions and are things that will help us the shift that I truly believe is coming. One thing that that Joe has done is he really hasn't made me listen to a lot of Project Camelot, But there's a website called ProjectCamelot.org, and they have a lot of government whistleblowers and people who have been involved in secret operations and covert operations, and the net effect of it has been to really stretch my mind and Joe's mind too. We talk about it all the time, you know. Well, did you watch Henry Deacon? Oh yeah, he talked about the bases that we've had on Mars since the 1960s, and dimensional doorways in Area 51 in Nevada, where people walk through these doorways and they're instantly on a base on Mars, and they spend the day having face-to-face negotiations with Martians. And then at the end of the day, they walk back through the door and they're back on Area 51. They get back on their plane. They ride back down to Las Vegas. And so, it's as outrageous as it seems. It just doesn't seem that outrageous to me anymore. And that listening to these things and at least considering the possibility, I think these substances have been around a long time. I think this is why many of these, supposedly the Anunnaki came here to mine the gold from the ocean to keep their atmosphere clear or to clean their atmosphere. And so I think all these products have a historical link as well. And those of you who have heard Barry talk about it, he talks about this in his lectures about how this is the testament that's been left to us by our ancestors as well. So I think these are really, it's not by accident that you've discovered it. It's not by accident that you hear about these things. These are all, the pyramid is all based on the cubit, and coming into the king's chamber in the Great Pyramid, there's a block that sticks out, and it's exactly a cubit long. And that's the sacred cubit on which the whole building is based. And that's the one they measured as 20.6 inches. But it varies. I know people who have the distance from their elbow to the tip of their longest finger is 15 or 16 inches, and some people as long as 22. So it would vary, and that would change the frequency of the rings, and so the ring would vary according to your own physiologic frequency. And I think that the true healing rings, the rings that would resonate with your physical body, would be those that would be keyed to your physical dimension. Whereas the sacred cubit, the so-called the 20.6-inch cubit, can be used for various things. You can take these AccuBat coils, for example. The bird says hi, by the way, everybody. But you can take these AccuBat coils and put a crystal in the middle of them, and use them as a handle for as a lark. We've been making magic wands. And I went out and cut a piece of holly, but inspired by one of those Project Camelot lectures.
Thomas, tell them the Hollywood story.
Well, that's what I was just going to mention. Jordan Maxwell, in his Project Camelot interview, talks about how it's no accident that Hollywood is called Hollywood because of all the druidic magic wands and power wands and staffs were made from holly wood, from the wood of a holly tree. And oddly enough, those of you who read Harry Potter, you know there's a lot of Hollywood magic wands, and they're combined with feathers of this and feathers of that. And so the wood of the holly tree is thought to represent a special vibration. So as a lark, I went out and cut a piece of the branch where there's many holly trees in the woods up here, one of which is a large one across the road. and cut off the little branches and brought it back in and measured it, and it turned out that it, I call it an inadvertent cubit, because it was 20.6 inches long, oddly enough, and I hadn't measured it. And so I thought that was a sign that, well, I ought to make it into a magic wand. And so I stuck it inside an AccuVac coil, as well as a rutilated quartz crystal, and I have a bird that everybody probably heard just then. And it's a scarlet macaw, and she has beautiful red and yellow and blue feathers. And so I decorated it with that, and have made a magic wand that I use to kind of clear the weather. And sometimes I go outside and point it at things. And it's a way of focusing intention. And I think when you couple several methods together, you get, like meditation, and you support it with food and some sort of intellectual quest and ormus and other products like crystals and pendulums and dowsing and such, you can really develop the gifts that we all have. You know, Jesus said, "What I am, you are. What I can do, you can do." I'm just one of those people that believed it, and he said, "This and more will you do," and I believe that's true too. So we are just beginning, and we're lucky to be at the threshold of a big change that I think is coming. And,
mention the Egyptian bracelet.
What?
Tell them about the Egyptian bracelets I was thinking about.
Well, look, before you go down there, let me ask you a question, Thomas, because I want to know if you've experimented with your wand, and I'm not sure whether you'd get these in your part of the world, but you guys are familiar with what are called chemtrails, where these planes just come across and dump all this particulate matter into the atmosphere. Do you ever see any chemtrails around your place, around your area?
We do, in fact. We've noticed that a lot in the.
So what I want to know is, have you pointed your wand at any of those chemtrails and got an effect from it?
Well, I think that Joe's harmonizer, which is a full qubit, and it's got a huge coil in it, and he's got a quartz crystal the size of your leg leaning up against it. I think that's what really clears the chemtrails around here.
I haven't seen many since we've had that thing sitting there.
And actually, I asked him to put a ring around it. If you take a qubit or a two qubit ring and you put it around one of those harmonizers, it kind of channels it like a searchlight. So it's much more concentrated and less intense for those of us that live on the floor above it. The bird. Actually, it's over in the corner, you know, under the dining room, sort of, which is Joe's living room downstairs. And so it's pretty energetic when he plays music to it and takes the ring off of it. It's pretty powerful. And I also have a rice machine, and one of the things that we both do not infrequently is to use the chemtrail detoxification program on the rice machine, and that helps. But you know, if you search on Google and you put in chemtrails, there are actual pictures of the planes, the high altitude planes that spray this stuff. And there's various theories about it. Some people worry about it, and some people don't. It's not a huge upset in my universe, because I have technology, you know, that makes it not a concern of mine. That is these equalizers, as well as the rice machine. I'm also lucky to work at a place where it supports health, you know, and it's very health intensive, and they have a website, progressivemedicalcenter.com, And it's a lot of alternative and integrative kind of medicine. So, you know, I mean, for a guy who was depressed enough that I couldn't get out of bed a few years ago, I'm actually feeling good. And I sort of hate to admit it, because I've been sort of cynical about it. And that's the thing about Joe. I mean, since he's been living here and bathing in the water and washing his clothes in this water and drinking the water and making coffee with it and all that, he's feeling better too. So it's a magical place. This Orma stuff is some magical stuff. It can really lead to a lot of healing and a lot of opening up. And that's what's happened.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah,
I interrupted
when you were about to talk about bracelets, Thomas.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I was just going to go back on that again. That's an idea I just had as I was just scanning through the book again here before the call. I remember that a lot of the pictures that you see in Egyptian art, the women are wearing a series of these bracelets, which, if you look at those, that's very much about the size of a quarter cubit. And I'm wondering if they weren't wearing cubit rings for those bracelets. A lot of the Egyptian women used to wear sleeves of that, and that's actually come back into fashion. I see a lot of the young girls are wearing a bunch of bracelets like that. And so I guess it would be a pretty good idea to make them up in small enough size to wear for a bracelet also. But Thomas reminded me when he said the chemtrails, that's another function of these things. If you take a ring, the ring actually produces, imagine two flashlights glued end to end. That's what the output of one of these rings does. It makes a thin, laser-like beam coming out in both directions. So if you take one of these rings and you sweep it across a storm front very, very slowly, in Slim's book, he says, imagine a 2x4 about 20 miles long. You've got to swing it very slowly back and forth, like the hour hand of a clock, or minute hand of a clock, I mean. It'll actually break up a storm front and deflect a bad thunderstorm or a tornado, potential tornado generating storm, lessen its severity, and actually modify the weather. And numerous times they did experiments with this, and it worked perfectly. That's another thing they do. I wanted to throw in here, Thomas mentioned the Camelot. Ran across a new video today. I would really recommend everybody listening to go to YouTube and listen to this. It's not really a video. It's an MP3, but it's up there on YouTube. And rather than give you the URL, just search on Life After Death, Ancient Texts. That should be enough. Life After Death, Ancient Texts, End of Real is what this is called. Life After Death, Ancient Texts, End of Real, V-R-I-L. This is Jay Weidman, who's a pretty well-known author, co-author with Paul LaViolette of Earth Under Fire. That's one of his works. But this is a brand new, not real long. It's 10 different segments of, 12 segments of 10 minutes each. And very, very interesting information, a totally different take on things that a lot of people assume may be alien that are not really alien, they're terrestrial, and what's going on with some things that you can see in the sky. Really, really interesting information. Life After Death, Ancient Texts, and the Vril. Look that up on
That's
YouTube.
Ancient,
really
ancient T-E-C-H or T-E-X-T, Joe?
With X-ray. Life After Death, which is hyphenated, comma, Ancient
yep.
Texts, Tango X-ray, Tango Echo X-ray, Tango Sierra, and the Vril, V-R-I-L, Vril.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's take a question from the free room, if it's okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to unmute.
So if you're in the free room, hit *7 if you have muted yourself, and ask a question now. Otherwise, forever hold your peace.
Guess we put them all to sleep.
I have a question. May I ask?
Sure.
Hello? Yeah. I've been using several Ormus products for quite a while, and my main reason for being interested in them is for character development, at least from the outward perspective, and from a more inner perspective, from, you know, resolving, you know, resolving the embedded, I don't know how to put them, trauma. You can, there are several Sanskrit terms that you could use. I don't know if they're appropriate to use here, but a lot of these embedded impressions that I think many people believe they're embedded in places like the amygdala and things like that, and so I've been attracted to looking at Dennis, your products, and Thomas and Joe too. It's been intriguing to me whether these products are designed to work on these areas of the subtle physiology. And that may not be the exact question I want to ask, but maybe you could speak to some of that. And also, based on what you've been talking about with regard to Slim Sperling's devices, how is Ormus all we need, or do these work together to create a greater effect, or that kind of thing, or am I in the wrong? Am I looking in the wrong place?
No, you're looking in the right place.
It's all about the light body.
It's my intention that Ormus will empower any intentions that you give to it. And it's really important to know that, because you can take whatever Ormus that you have, be it from Joe, be it from Thomas, be it from me, or both from anyone else, and you can tell it what you want to manifest, and it will do so. You command it like you mean business, and it'll deliver. I'm sorry, I cut across someone else. What were you saying?
Okay, go ahead, Dennis. I just said it's all about the light body. Anything that's going to boost your light body is going to work towards that. You can boost it by using Ormus materials. You can boost it by meditation. You can boost it by using these rings. Anything that's going to raise your body's frequency and get you away from this mundane polarity consciousness and into unity consciousness. It'll put you more in contact with the realization that everything in this universe is connected and you are a part of that. And everybody else out there is you. It's all, the universe is actually within you. It's all inside of you, and you're connected to everything in this universe. So, white powder or whatever you use, you're boosting your light body, you're building your light body up, it's going to have the same effect. So you're absolutely correct. You're not offline at all.
It sounds as though intention or intentionality is extremely important. In other words, it's not just enough to imbibe a little bit of it every day, but you have to have a stated purpose, whatever that is, or intention, whatever that is. Are you guys all in agreement with that?
I think that's a fair statement, that it does have a momentum to itself. That momentum would be the momentum of your light body to a higher self, to a higher vibration, to lower entropy in an energetic sense, which is, you know, what you're trying to reach with meditation. But overall, I think that's a fair statement. But I think that it really helps to have an idea where you're going. In Japan, they show a picture of Nirvana, and they put it on the wall, and they say that's where you're going, and so everybody has a better idea. You know, even the Christians have this notion of marble halls and temples and the pillars of heaven and such. And so, in a sense, that one of the things that I try to encourage people to do is really have a good idea about the new earth and the new heaven. That you know, that's Revelation says there will arise a new earth and a new heaven. And so, to have that kind of vision about what the Earth that you want to evolve, that second timeline that we literally are going to create, and out of which is going to cause the ascension, if you will, of the planet, and of many of us, you know, as it says, many will be called, few will be chosen. I think that there'll be a lot of Ormus people standing at the finish line, looking around, saying, "Gosh, look, weren't you at Anoda?" Anyway, I think it's a process, and I think it's important to have some idea. But on the other hand, I think it has a momentum to itself, because I think that we as humans do, or those of us who are awakened enough to find out about these products and about these kind of energies and these different kind of technologies. That's really all this has been for, I think, all of us, is that we believe in the results, we believe in the energy that comes from it, and have sort of taken we've produced it on our own, and kind of because friends have wanted it, we've kind of started giving it away. And I think most of the producers that I know started as small-time consumers and just kind of wanted to make it cheaper for themselves. And that's really, I think, what most of the producers have done is really, this is all kind of small-time ma-and-pa kind of stuff. There's not a whole lot of people that have a big commercial operation around it. And I think that really reflects in the products. They're all kind of handmade and hand labeled and produced one by one, pretty much by most of the people that I know that make and sell these things. So it's not a real commercial, you know, push on it, and I think that's reflected as well.
I have a question about the rings that you're making, Joe. Does it matter what gauge wire?
Do tell us who you are when you ask a question, would you?
Okay, this is Michelle from Western Pennsylvania. And does the gauge wire make a difference?
If you're wanting to fool around with this with yourself on your own, I would definitely say no. The only consideration is whether you have the equipment and the physical strength to be able to handle heavier gauge wire. The heavier wire you can use, the better if you're going to make a larger ring. If you're going to make a smaller one, then you, of course, would use a little lighter gauge. But I would recommend that you go with the biggest one that you can muscle around. You know, I don't know if you can handle a half-inch drill, which is what we use to twist them up.
Right. My background is a goldsmith and lapidary artist, so I'm used to soldering and working with metal and wire and so forth.
Okay, so well, then your criteria would be how big a ring you're going to make. If you're going to go for a 2 or a 3 cubit, then I would use a very heavy gauge, a number 12 or 10, maybe even an 8 if you can handle it. You can twist it up. That's pretty big. But I'm using 10 on the real big ones, and I'm using 12 on the smaller ones.
Okay. I was just wondering, and then probably the smaller you would go in size, like, maybe for the jewelry type, then you could use much smaller gauge then.
Yeah. I played around with trying to make one of the wearable personal ones, and it's just, you know, the rings are fine if you just want to make a pair of earrings as a really small, you know, eighth of a cubit or something, but to try and make a harmonizer configuration, which Slim does offer one, that you can wear around your neck like a necklace, but I couldn't put one of those together. My hands are too big.
Okay. So, all right, thanks for that.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
I have a question for Thomas. Dan Denlinger in Idaho purchased one of your traps, or one or more. How do you know how many traps he's got?
He has one. It's the 6-inch trap, in fact.
Uh-huh.
It was custom built
for
Jan. Jan owns a fertilizer production facility. He has a fish farm, and he takes worm castings and fish fish emulsion and trap water and makes an extraordinary fertilizer that just makes can grow hair on a rock, he says, you know. It's pretty great stuff. And but at any rate, he has a 6-inch trap. Only one.
It's a one of a kind trap. It's unique.
Well, no, I've built several more since then, but his was one of the. It's a 6-inch. In fact, there's a picture of it on the website, TerraEagle.net.
Okay.
Of his particular trap, it's a 6-inch diameter, and it has a little stronger magnet on it because it's thicker wall.
Uh-huh.
They don't make thin wall 6-inch tubing.
Wow.
I understand it works pretty well, but I don't understand.
His water weighs less than ordinary water. Have you ever weighed your water?
Well, yes.
And
my water weighs more than ordinary water here.
Is that right?
A gallon of...
That makes sense to me.
Okay, now, do you weigh your water...
The water here, trap water, that I send out, in fact, I send it out in flat rate boxes, so they weigh it at the post office. It weighs about 9.5 pounds per gallon.
Oh, wow.
Rather than 8.3, which is the standard weight for distilled water, is 8.3. I don't know what Jan's weighs, but I suspect it's a function of his actual water and his water source.
Mm-hmm.
It may have a lot of gas in it or something. I don't know.
Well, his water from the trap weighs 7.3 pounds per gallon.
Wow.
And sometimes it's heavier. Sometimes it weighs up to 10 pounds per gallon. He weighs it every time. And this is not just his water. This is his water mixed with the worm castings and the fish poop. So it's the whole combination, which should make it heavier, but it doesn't.
Well, perhaps he lives in an area of anomaly with all of the changes going on in the Earth right now. He may be in an area of gravitational anomaly that has variable gravity from one day to the next, and I'm not kidding.
That's possible. Another thing might be to... I've asked him if he will weigh the water going into the trap, as well as the water going out, as well as the wastewater. And, you know,
different weeks.
Yeah. I've been weighing water lately from my trap, and the trap water only weighs about a gram per cup less, but it consistently weighs a gram less per cup. My trap water isn't very good. My water source isn't very good. But that would be just a phenomenal proof of the concept of superconductivity, and that we're dealing with superconductive elements here.
Hmm.
Well, I'll have to get
I'm hearkening back to when we talked about, I think I talked about this with you, Barry, that, you know, when you ignite hydrogen and oxygen and you get a volume of pure, whatever you want to call it, dihydrogen oxide, it doesn't weigh what normal water weighs, and we both assume that that's because it's missing the ormus. So, you know, beyond the levitation, it may levitate at 100%. It only levitates 4/9 or 5/9. I forget which is which. So adding ormus to the water has got to add to the weight. I can't see how it would reduce the weight by adding ormus to the water. Maybe to some extent, but you're adding material that weighs something to water that didn't have it before. So I don't know. I don't see how it could be lighter. I'm missing that one.
Well, it's been spun in a magnetic field, and it's spin coherent. Therefore, it's going to levitate better on the magnetic field. That's my hypothesis.
Right, but you're adding it to a constant, theoretically, right? So, I mean, it may affect itself. I don't see how it would affect the given body of water.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be very helpful to to get some other numbers, because that is absolutely amazing.
Well, I'll have to measure it in a standard volume. You used a cup, 8 ounces?
I used 8 ounces about, yeah.
Well, that's the, you know, it's the about thing. I think we can maybe standardize it at maybe a liter or something like that and see. Because certainly if an 8 ounce container is a gram, then that theoretically would be magnified with a 32 ounce container or a liter container, and that would be more measurable. So,
yeah.
But I
you have to have a scale that'll weigh it. That's the trick. And my scale only goes up to the weight of a cup of water.
Mm.
Now, actually, I think I can do 16 ounces. Pint.
Well, we'll have to measure it and see what the difference is before and after the trap, and see whether we can measure the effect here as well.
Yeah, that'd be just and see if there's any effect of the rings as well.
Mm.
All of those things may have an influence there too.
I would be
interested in nailing that sample of trap water with a very intense electromagnetic field so as to pin the ormus and then weigh it again before and after.
Well, what I did with my water was I put it on a magnetic stirrer, one of these chemistry magnetic stirrers. You put a magnet in a jar of chemicals and the stirrer runs a magnet and spins the magnet around under it. So it causes the stirrer inside the jar to stir as well. And
yeah, I've got one.
I did it without the magnet inside. I just put this, and that also caused it to lose weight.
Which that would make sense, because now you're driving off the ormus elements. Now that makes sense.
Yeah,
it would go into gas and leave solution.
Except it was a sealed container.
I never stopped an ormus I ever met.
I know. And so these are all factors that have to be controlled for, but very interesting phenomena. Anyway.
Whenever we get Barry and Joe talking, the conversation goes very left brain very quick. We have Dennis and Thomas talking, suddenly we're over on the right. We have all four talking. Hello. Back and forward, back and forward, like a pendulum.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a fun announcement. It's a very whoopee-doo, yes, I've done it, finally, announcement. I actually have a website up, finally. It's called ormus-alchemy.com, ormus-alchemy.com. It doesn't have a front page yet. So it just takes you straight to the Biomas page. But what's interesting about that is that I've got 6 current batches up at the moment. And the first one is made on the Aries full moon. It's about self-restoration, self-rejuvenation. The second one is on the Taurus full moon. It's called the Mother of Abundance. The third one, the Gemini full moon, it's the ideal loving partner and soulmate. And the fourth in Cancer is the Heaven on Earth Happiness Ormus. And the fifth, Leo, is so male. It's so exalted. It's called Triumphant Exaltation. And the sixth in the full moon in Virgo is called Love and Appreciation. And those batches are on the site. And everyone's been, including Barry, has been hounding me for ages and ages and ages to get a website up. And I've been lucky to find a wonderful lady who's done that for me and is still doing it as we speak.
Yeah.
So that's my little celebration of the day.
Oh, yeah. And I've got it on my links page. But I haven't uploaded it yet, but soon.
So we're all making amazing progress, and it's no surprise to me that Joe and Thomas would start doing all manner of fantastic, amazing, and interesting things when you're living in each other's pocket, so to speak.
Now, Dennis, you're also doing some shape-related energizing. You've got an imaginary pyramid, or I don't know what to call it. It's pyramid corners and apex in your house.
It's not imaginary. I'll describe it. Basically, I use Tesla plates, and Tesla plates are used to lower the electromagnetic frequency effect. You can wear them around your neck. You can have them in your pocket. You can stick them on your mobile phones and make them less toxic. They've got big ones they call a house plate, and it just vibrates the whole neighborhood. They're a sort of a vibrational version of what you're making, Joe. And so I in my house, and Tiberi has seen this, on my roof above where I make ormus is the apex of the pyramid. And I have one of these little plates up there. And then downstairs, in three different locations, because it's a three-sided base. It's not a four-sided pyramid, it's a three-sided pyramid. It's what they call a tetrahedron. I have, in three different locations at exactly the same distance from each other, in a three-sided triangle, by definition, all triangles are three-sided. And then the fourth side, or the fourth point, is on the roof of the ceiling above where I make my ormus. So it makes a big three-sided pyramid, and I've measured it exactly, and me and Dr. Jennifer Hunter, who was my original ormus mentor, who learned from Barry Carter when he was down in Australia about 6 years ago, when she came to visit one time, we were trying to get around to constructing this before the full moon, which is coming up, you know, in a couple of hours. We were arguing over how we were going to measure through the walls and through the floor and get it right. And what we found is, as soon as we put a sophic cone on our head, all arguing stopped, calculation started. We quickly got it in place for the time of the peaking of the full moon, and the sophic cone is what they call the Dunstan's cap. Now, there was this guy who was a British scientist and cleric, and he was fascinated by all the technologies that the Egyptians had developed, and he started investigating their cone. Remember in a lot of the Egyptian graphics, a cone often represents ormus, and they may have had ormus shaped in the shape of a cone. Well, the specific dynamic and the interesting dynamic of the sophic cone is it produces an energy field which is like the energy field is produced by a pyramid. Now, the way you make one is you scribe a big semicircle in some card, and then you fold it so that it creates a big cone, and you choose a specific angle and then tape it into place. And I have one above my water bottle in my kitchen, which if I ever need to upgrade my thinking, I take it off the big water bottle and I stick it on my head. It looks funny, but it works. And what happened was this guy, whose middle name was Sophus, that's why it was called the Sophic Cone, started making the public aware of the extraordinary mental clarifying effects of the cone on the head. And they started using it in schools to settle down, to pacify, to harmonize the disrupted frequencies of disrupted kids. And they'd stand them in the corner, have them look at nothing, have them gaze into the corner with a sophic cone on their head, and they would come back into the class as a friend of mine who described exactly this effect. He said, I was a disruptive kid at school, and I'd stick this cone on my head, and I'd come back into the class completely refreshed and at peace, and I would learn well. Well, that was the...
And what are the dimensions of this? Could you describe
it's a dunce cap.
I know. Is there any size or anything?
Well, you can make them to different ratios. I make mine to the phi ratio, the 1.618, the dimensions of height to width.
Makes sense.
And so
now the Sothic triangle.
The
Sothic triangle is four ninths, four base and nine high, I think. But go ahead.
Oh.
So it turns out this works so effectively that the powers that be decided that they did not want everyone to sort of wander around and have access to this Sothic cone effect in their consciousness. So they end up calling it Dunce's Cap and had shame attached with using it. So even though it was incredibly effective, they made it so that it was a punishment. But in fact, it was an upliftment. Now that's what I call effective control. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen, the Dunce's Cap. If you want a quick upliftment in your consciousness and your functioning, stick one of these Dunce's Cap on your head and just notice how much more quickly you do the crossword.
Well, witches' caps are like that. Magicians' hats are like that. They're all the pointed hat.
Alchemists' caps. Yep.
Yeah. That was a bit of a speech, but I hope it was useful for you because if you've got problems that you can't solve, get a Sothic cone onto your head and watch it happen.
Cool.
And the 4/9 is a dimension that I haven't tried, so thank you for that, Barry.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using 1.618.
Yeah. Well, it's a taller, thinner cone, I think.
So any other questions for Joe, Thomas? Barry, well, we stunned you all into silence. Come on, speak up. Speak further. I know you've got this kind of mind that's going to be thinking about six questions by now.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead. What's your name?
It's a little bit off topic, but Joe, how is your Cox's formula going?
I'm sorry, what formula?
Cox's
we are not going to discuss that publicly anymore.
Good point.
Pardon?
We're not going to discuss that publicly anymore. If you want to give me a call sometime, I'll be happy to talk to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Tell us who you are and identify yourself before you ask the question.
Thomas, it's Simon here. I was wondering with your GB 4000, do you ever use any of the vortexing plates that they can come with?
You mean the pre-programmed stuff in it?
No, they come with like it's a small plate that has a series of triagonal patterns on them.
I call it an antenna, but I don't know exactly what it is. But it does. It has I think it's. I'd have to look at it. Whether it's hexagonal or octagonal. But
three triangles.
It looks like a printed. A circuit board, and it's an antenna that you can use to imprint water. I use it specifically. If people want specific stuff imprinted into the water and call me, very often I'll talk with people and then say, I'm going to send you some water, and it'll be specifically imprinted for example, I have a friend who's a multiple sclerosis patient. And so I take the frequencies and imprint the water with that antenna from the GB4000.
Hey, Thomas?
Yeah?
I just pulled up a picture of it. I happened to scan that plate of yours upstairs into my scanner just because it was such a bizarre-looking thing. And it just occurred to me what this is a two-dimensional magtet. This is a tetrahedrally wound coil. It's a coil, a flat two-dimensional coil, wound in the shape of a tetrahedron. And there are one, two, three, four of them. Two in the shape of a Merkaba
on each side of a piece of circuit board. So you have two interspersed magtets in two dimensions.
Wow. I'm not surprised. It's the flower of life. This is the star tetrahedron, and that is the basic sacred geometry of our planet. That's what Drunvalo was talking about in his workshops, is holding that image, learning how to spin your personal Merkaba, your vehicle of light. And
I would bet it generates a toroidal field of energy.
Well, and toroidal, that's the principle behind the magnetic vortex trap, is a toroidal field. And so there's so much overlap of all these fields, you know, and you begin to study sacred geometry and you find out you're really studying, you know, stuff that you're studying metaphysics. You end up studying quantum physics and realizing that you know as much as anybody. You know phenomena, for example, that defy the laws of physics. You end up studying all this stuff when you start into the field. That's the wonderful thing about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I often wondered how Barry could cope with that particular dynamic, given that he wanted to only have conversation about Ormus, and where does Ormus start and stop?
I think the guy that asked the question had more.
Oh, yeah, there's another question.
No. Joe, I just wanted to, it's Simon here from Bali. Mate, I was just wanted to ask Thomas about that, because me, I've been using mine as well. I charge my wash water before I wash my Ormus with it. And I mean, predominantly I just use the 528 frequency, but I have been charging it with other frequencies as well, which relate to to different chakras, and I found it to be great. And Thomas was actually instrumental in me getting one of these machines. I asked him a few questions about it sort of a while back, and I just wanted to know whether he was using that plate, and he is, that's great.
Do you have any means of generating something like 432 megahertz?
432 megahertz, yeah, you can generate that off the machine.
I would try that into this device and charge your water with it. I bet you're going to see something amazing.
What's the importance of the 428 figure, Joe?
Well, 432 was mentioned in several, I don't even want to say where I got this from, and I'm not going to say, the familiar company that we all know about, document that got loose that apparently 432 megahertz is a well-known universal frequency. And there's a multiple of it up into the gigahertz, which I can't remember right off the top, but that would be a little tough to put into something like this. But I could certainly see this working at 432.
Okay, well, it's worth trying. And
if you have the universal frequency list, which is the option that you know you get with the universal frequency list, right in the beginning, at the start of it, it talks about normalizing and stimulating frequencies, and many of them are normalizing and increasing pineal function and energy levels and so on, like the first maybe six or eight of them. And you can program those into a specific channel. 9999 and 10,000 are both great frequencies, and then, of course, like Dennis was suggesting, douse out own personal frequencies. All these are really frequency generators. And you can, again, resonate, rather like the qubits are personal resonators. These things can be personal resonators as well. They're all intention amplifiers. And Rife was a researcher in the 1920s and 30s who cured cancer with his device. In fact, some of the interviews on Project Camelot from Bill Deagle, who is a government doctor and so on, and he reiterates over and over, oh, yeah, Rife knew what he was talking about. It threatened him so bad that they had to shut him down. And so that our government secret operations black ops folks use Rife therapy, and I know that it works. It's another alternative method that you can use. And I think that this is a particular group. The Ormus group is a group of folks that are, I think, what probably more open to or has more experience with those kind of alternative therapies and alternative methods than other groups in general.
I have something. This is Michelle from Pennsylvania again. I have tuning forks that are tuned to different frequencies. And you can use the tuning forks also to charge.
Indeed you can. Very often people use those for specific chakras. There's a set of tuning forks, I can't remember the name of them now, that are used for specific healing and specific vibrations.
But the sound from that is, and I charge my water with the sound. I have a whole array of different frequency of the tuning forks.
Sure, I have crystal bowls as well.
Mm-hmm.
And use those. And I'll set the water inside the crystal bowl and play the crystal bowl to it. All of these things are amplified in the water. I think are reflected in water. Water is one of the most imprintable things on the planet, and you know, as has been pointed out, we're 70, 80, 90% water, depending on how old we are. We dry out as we get older.
Well, then we're very imprintable as a result, because of all our water.
Oh, and that's about it. As you may remember from the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, they talked about Matsuo Emoto's work with ice crystals. And I remember the comment from the character was, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? We're mostly water. It makes you wonder. And, of course, it's an obvious conclusion, but it's true. We're at least 70 or 80% water. And if we can imprint 70 or 80% of us with good intentions, and just like the Course in Miracles says, you have a choice. You have a choice of seeing this as a judgmental, angry planet, or you see it as a loving and forgiving place, so you have the choice at every minute. I think we have more choices than just those two, but really attitude makes a big difference, and that's intention. So, and we've talked a lot about intention. You know, I used to think intention was 80% of it. Now I think it's more like 98% of it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like my physical body. I used to think, till Robert Monroe's affirmation starts out, I am more than my physical body. Well, I don't even think I'm a little bit my physical body anymore. I think this is just the radio through which I'm broadcasting at this moment. And
that's a wonderful affirmation.
Well, it's a wonderful affirmation. But it really kind of kept him in his physical body. In a way, so it's just another way of identifying with the third dimension, and you know, I'm seeing things out of the corner of my eye and hearing things, and I think probably a lot of people who take Ormus are see odd shapes, and those of us who sun gaze, I'm lucky enough to have a lovely clear horizon to sun gaze as the sun rises. It really is a transformational experience. And has changed very much within this last year because the character of the sun has changed, and I think that we all have changed as human beings because you know, the Schumann frequency supposedly is raised now. It used to be 7.83, and it was so constant you could set things by it. It was a government standard, but it's now somewhat over 12.
Oh, that's a big change.
That's a huge change.
Yes.
The planet has warmed up. The sun has changed in character. We're going through a new solar cycle. The motion of the great red spot on Jupiter has changed direction. they've had a polar shift on other planets. Saturn has warmed up. It's radiating almost 100 times more than it used to. So every planet in the solar system is changing. And there are big changes, you know, big changes all around us. And I think that all of the things that we feel and the changes that we feel are reflections of that. Because after all, you know, like Joni Mitchell wrote years ago, we are stardust. And literally we are stardust. And we're going to have that same evolutionary change, molecular change, because we're made up of atoms that are, you know, old.
Yeah. And listen, we're coming down to our last 5 minutes of the call. I want to squeeze in one or two more questions. Anyone else who hasn't asked a question is busting too? Now's your moment. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and ask a question. This is your moment. That was a huge, big space.
Well, Captain from Minnesota, say I was wondering when these products are going to be ready, Joe, or when you're going to start working on those or taking orders.
Oh, you can get a hold of me anytime you want. I don't know exactly when I'll have the website up and running, but you can call me anytime and I'll work on them for you.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Or email me. I mean, you don't have to call. Email's fine, of course.
Joe's website is AtlantisAlchemy.com. So it's J.M. Lello, L-E-L-L-O, at AtlantisAlchemy.com. Or
get the words out of my mouth. Incidentally, this rice plate is a dodecagon I have analyzed. You have got 6 points on one side, 6 points on the other side. So you have the dodecagon, which in sacred geometry is heaven. And you're running through all four of these, creating a dual flower of life, shifted by 30 degrees, I guess. But in total, it's going through the entire 12 points of a dodecagon. Very interesting plate. We're going to have to play with this thing.
Well, so that would be a good thing to charge water with. He's talking about that plate for the Rife machine, the GB4000. And incidentally, if you're interested in reading more about Rife, you can. It's R-I-F-E. You can put it into Google or put it into Wikipedia. And it's GB4000 is the particular machine I have. There's Rife forums on the Yahoo groups, rather like we have the Ormus forum. There's also a Rife forum. There are a lot of co-members. There's a lot of names that are recognizable on both groups.
Thomas, what's your website and
my
email address?
It's CherokeeGold.net.
And email?
My email is tgecks at windstream.net.
Thank you.
I'm sure my phone number is up on the website.
Any other questions, or did we lose somebody here?
I think.
So anyone else want any more questions? Otherwise, we're going to wind it up.
And one last time, the new site is going to be Etheric Devices, AetherIcDevices.com.
What price are your rings going to range in?
The small one-cubit rings are going to go, all of them are going to be with free shipping except the small ring. That one I'm going to have to charge shipping on. The small ring is going to be $30. The harmony generators, or whatever we're going to wind up calling them, the small one, which she calls, it escapes me. The large one is the agricultural. Tom, do you remember what he called the middle one?
Environmental.
Environmental, okay. The environmental size is going to be 150, and the agricultural, which is the full cubit, is going to be 250 with free shipping.
Okay.
I don't think we should make them any bigger.
Any bigger than that will require a military escort.
Yeah.
It can give you headaches, you know, if that's why you put rings around them. We have people now who are ordering magnetic vortex traps with cubit rings to put around them. I think that's a great strategy, is to combine these kind of technologies. There's a lot of people who put krill beads, for example, in their trap water and so on. There's people who use stir wands and put pinches of powder in trap water and so on. There's, so I think it's really worthwhile combining all these technologies. I think it has a lot to do with your intention, and I'm a triple Aries. If the dosage label says take a half a teaspoon, I like take a half a cup, and you know, so, and I've always been like that. So, oh well, I was supposed to take a drop of this stuff and dilute it in a quart of water, and I just opened it up and dumped it in my throat, and because that's. This is sort of what I do.
An extremist, Thomas.
Because your mantra is, I want patience and I want it now.
Well, I'm an Aries. In fact, so is Joe. And his birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, Joe.
Oh, you had to say that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you say you were 384,300 and what years old?
In dog years, that would be close, yeah. I'm about 743 last time I checked.
Well, I bought him a submarine for his birthday, so.
The stuff you were saying about taking big doses of anything transcendent, Thomas, goes directly to the observation that I've had for quite a while now that would definitely apply to you two. And that is that you guys, between you, have an extraordinary capacity to handle the upper ranges of the etheric fields and the light fields and the extraordinary qualities that come with these kind of devices and ormus. And so it's quite reasonable to expect that you could have a few of these big rings in your space and be quite comfortable with it, whereas for a number of other people who are not quite so vibrationally attuned, it might be like an encounter with a Mack truck.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Dennis. We had one lady came here already to have some stuff custom made, and she was commenting on all these different things that we were letting her try and so forth. Oh man, enough, and to us it's like the more the merrier, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, she couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Well,
when
the student is ready, it depends on what you want, and this is just another technology. It's like, well, there's lots of them, tachyons and etheric energy, Reikian energy and Reiki and energetic healing and medical intuitives, and it's all the same thing. It's what it is your light body, your higher self manifesting itself, and these are all tools, and I'm just one of those people that wants to discover new ones, and I'm fortunate to have a close neighbor who I think is more. He certainly has a lot more time to investigate the stuff than I do, and who's really prone to it as well. And I think that it's great to have somebody that you can count on to stretch your mind and to drag you kicking and screaming into the new age, so to speak. So,
well, listen, guys, we're out of time, and I knew this call would be fascinating, interesting, and compelling, and of course, it exceeded my expectations. So I really want to thank you guys for just being who you are. And in many ways, I want to thank you for choosing to be in close proximity to each other to amplify each other's whatever. That je ne sais quoi, as the French say, that I don't know what. So thank you so much for being our guest today. And listen to me, and I really want to thank you guys for coming into this call. It's been so good. And just before you sign off, just tell us your name, where you're from, and say goodbye, so we can just have the joy of just of our interaction even on departure. So we're going to wind this baby up. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. This is Barry. Great presentation. Thank you, guys.